We have on record the very last words recorded by some of the most powerful and some of the most famous people who have ever lived. We have on record the very last words spoken by some of our former presidents, by some of our former politicians, by statesmen, by world leaders. We have recorded the very last words of some famous people who were actors or authors, and etc. But this morning, I want us to focus our attention on some of the very last words that were spoken by one of the greatest Christians who have ever lived. This morning, I want us to focus on some of the very last words that the Apostle Paul ever penned. So that's going to take us, and I want you to turn there, that's going to take us to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. In chronological order, the very last book he wrote was 2 Timothy. And the last chapter, his last words are found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is believed that these words, well, it's known that these words were written very shortly before his execution. And there is a good argument that these words we are about to read, the Apostle Paul wrote them just days before he was executed in the city of Rome. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8. For I am ready, already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing. Last words are important. If you really want to know what is on an individual's heart, listen to them speak when they know they are about to die. These words of Paul were written to a man named Timothy. Timothy was the Apostle Paul's son in the faith. And Paul refers to him as being his son in the faith on different occasions, probably meaning that very early on, it was the Apostle Paul who converted Timothy. And now, for the last 20 years, Timothy has been Paul's fellow laborer. Now, for more than the last two decades, these two men have roamed the Mediterranean Sea with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now, the old preacher is about to die. But before he leaves, he wants to address his beloved friend one more time. In the three verses that I have just read to you, the Apostle Paul is talking and is speaking about himself. And what the Apostle Paul does in the passage that we just read is that Paul gives to Timothy three snapshots of his life. In verse number 6, we find the first snapshot. Paul talks to Timothy about his present. This is what's going on with me right now as I sit in this dungeon. Then in verse number 7, the second snapshot, Paul talks to Timothy about his past. This has been my life since I have obeyed the gospel and become a Christian. Then finally in verse 8, Paul shares with Timothy that third snapshot where Paul talks about his future. This is what is about to happen, and this is where I am about to go. So in this passage, listen to me. In this passage, we have Paul's present, we have Paul's past, and we have Paul's future. I want us to examine each one of these very carefully. First of all, in verse number 6, Paul talks about what his present situation was in Rome. In verse number 6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near." In talking about his present situation, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he tells us two things about his present condition. Number one, the Apostle Paul says, "I am ready. I am ready." Brother, listen to me. That may be the most wonderful view of death that you will ever read in the Bible. I'm ready. When the Apostle Paul wrote that sentence, he was in a dungeon in the city of Rome. When he penned those words, the very next sound that Paul would hear coming down that hallway where he was, the very next person could have been his executioner. Paul would then be led out of that dark and damp dungeon and brought into the sunlight in the imperial city of Rome. Paul would then be laid down, and Paul would be executed by having his head severed from his body. When Paul writes this down, Paul says, "Listen, Timothy, I understand my present condition. I know what is about to happen. But Timothy, understand this, I am ready." I'm ready. Let's do this. In 2 Kings chapter 20, the prophet Isaiah is sent to King Hezekiah with a message from God. And in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 20, Isaiah tells King Hezekiah, "You set your house in order and prepare to die because you cannot live." That was the initial message. Listen to it. Set your house in order. Prepare to die because you cannot live. Brethren, listen to me. Have you set your life in order? If you have not set your life in order, you are not prepared to die. If you are not a Christian, you're not ready to die. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, And they will take vengeance. Who will they take vengeance on? They will take vengeance on those who do not know God and who have obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you are not a Christian. And if you are not a Christian, you are not ready to die. You're not ready. If you are not faithful, you're not ready to die. You're not ready to die. Turn about three or four pages to Hebrews chapter 3 for just a second, and then we're going back to 2 Timothy 4. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. See to it, brothers or brethren, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Amen. Notice who's being addressed here. Christians, brethren, be careful that you don't develop an unbelieving heart. It's possible for those who are saved over time to develop an unbelieving heart. And it's possible over time that we turn away from the living God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 10, Peter says, with all diligence, make your calling and election sure. Your calling and election has to do with your conversion. Your conversion in your mind, your conversion should be sure and your conversion should be secure. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready. But are you ready? Are you ready? Paul said, of my present condition, I am ready. The second thing he says about his presence is that Paul says, the time of my departure is near. The word we want to focus on there is the word departure. The word that the Apostle Paul uses here specifically is a word that carried two meanings in the ancient world. First, the word departure was a word that was used by Roman soldiers who were folding down their tent and moving to another area. Paul tells Timothy, listen, I'm folding down my earthly tent. That's his body, his life. I'm folding down my earthly tent. And Timothy, I am about to move away. And I'm about to move away, bless God, to a home that's not made with human hands. The second usage of that specific word that Paul uses, in the ancient world, that word was used to describe a ship that was pulling up anchor and sailing away. Paul says, I'm pulling up anchor here. It's over for me here. I'm gone. But Timothy, when I pull up anchor and when I sail off, bless God, I'm sailing off into the eternal by and by. I challenge you this morning, look at these pictures. Look at these pictures. My life is ending. I'm folding down this earthly tent and I'm moving on. I'm pulling up anchors here in this life, but I'm sailing on. And he says, I am ready. One day, every single one of us will lie down and not get back up. And when that instant comes, the only thing in this world that's going to matter is, are you ready? Your money will mean nothing that moment. Your house will mean nothing that morning. All your stuff will mean nothing at that moment. The only thing that will matter at that moment is, listen, have I set my life in order and am I prepared? Listen, am I ready? We pay too much attention to foolishness. You're welcome. We pay too much attention to foolishness, to things that don't mean nothing, to things that ain't never gonna mean nothing. That's Paul's first snapshot. This is me right here, right now, and understand, I know fully what they're about to do to me, but understand this fully, I'm ready. And he says, my departure is near. Brethren, listen to me. For every one of us here, for every one of us here, our departure is not that far off. It's not that far off. Latest statistics are in. One out of one die. Listen, old people will die, but I'm telling you, young people can die. If you doubt that, take a walk in the cemetery, any one of them, and read those tombstones. Paul's present. The second snapshot comes in verse number 7. Verse 7 is very interesting. Paul talks about his past, And in verse 7, he describes his past in these words. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now look at the verse. Paul says, I have. That's past tense. I have, that's past tense. And he uses that expression in that verse three times. Now, what's going on in that verse? What's going on in that verse is that the Apostle Paul is looking back at his past. When Paul writes these words, it's been 30 years since the Damascus Road experience. 30 years ago, Paul had left the city of Jerusalem and was traveling to Damascus, and the Lord confronted him on that road, threw Paul off of his horse, and the Lord exclaimed to him, Saul, Saul. And Saul got up off that road and was led into the city. And 3 days later, a Christian by the name of Ananias came to him and said, Saul, Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. It had been 30 years since Paul was converted to Christ. And now at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul looks back in that verse on those 30 years. And in this verse, the Apostle Paul describes his Christian life in three illustrations. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. Now, don't misunderstand what's up there, and it's easy to misunderstand it. In our translation, Paul seems to be talking about a fighter or a boxer, but that's not what the word has reference to. The word that Paul uses there, I have fought the good fight, as reference to a soldier, an ancient Roman soldier. If you go back two chapters earlier to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says we should endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, Paul likens the church to being the army of God. Please understand this. Every single Christian is a soldier in God's army. And the number one characteristic of a soldier is that a soldier is loyal. Listen, a soldier is loyal to his final or to her final breath. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning with verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Paul says, in illustrating his life, he says, "I am a soldier." He says, "I have been a soldier." And the key characteristic of a soldier is that a soldier is loyal to the death. The second illustration that the Apostle Paul uses is that Paul says, "I have finished the race." He likens living the Christian life to running in a race. He does this on several occasions. Now, just as the key characteristic of a soldier is loyalty, the key characteristic of a runner is endurance. Amen. It's endurance. Runners have to endure. Runners have to endure aches and pains. Your ankles, your knees, your hips, your back, you have to endure aches and pains. The key characteristic here is endurance. A runner has to endure the weather. It is always too hot. It is always too cold. It is always too windy. It is always too humid. It is always too wet. It is always too something. But if you're a runner, you endure and you press on. Jesus said it like this. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 13, Jesus said, "He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved." In the 1968 Olympics, in the marathon, that's 26.2 miles, the runner from Tanzania ran about 3/4 of the marathon and he fell and injured himself. The officials came on and tried to pick him up, but he backed them off. Because if they had touched him, he would have been disqualified from the race. So he got up on one foot and he hobbled and he hopped to the finish line. Listen to me, several hours after the last person had crossed the finish line, that Tanzanian runner hopped across the finish line. Hours after the last runner. And they interviewed him and they said, "Well, why did you keep going?" And he said, "My country didn't send me here to quit." As Christians, we have to endure. We have to endure what the devil throws at us. We have to endure what the world throws at us.
Bless God, sometimes we have to endure what the brethren throw at us.
Paul said, my life has been that of a soldier, loyal. Paul saying, listen, 30 years ago, I pledged my allegiance to Jesus Christ, and I've been his lock, stock, and barrel ever since. Paul said, my Christian life is that of a runner, where I have endured. Thirdly, the third illustration he uses to describe his Christian life is that Paul says, I have kept the faith. Brethren, listen to me. You and I, as Christians, we are stewards of the faith that God has given to us. We are stewards of that faith. Now, just like a soldier is loyal, and just like a runner must endure, a steward's key characteristic is that they must be faithful. They must be faithful. So Paul tells Timothy, here's the first picture. This is where I'm at right now. He tells Timothy, here is the second picture. This has been my life. For 30 years, that's been my life. And then finally, Paul shares the third snapshot in verse number 8. And that is his future. In verse number 8, Paul says, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award beyond that day, and not only to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. Let me ask you two questions about his future. Question number one, what has been stored up for Paul? What does that verse say has been laid up or stored up for the Apostle Paul? Talk to me. The crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. That's what's been laid up or stored up for the Apostle Paul. Now, wait a minute. What has been stored up is the crown of righteousness. But now, why has that crown of righteousness been stored up for him? Why? Because he was loyal. Because he endured, and because he was faithful. And because he was loyal, and because he endured, and because he was faithful, there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him. But that crown of righteousness wasn't just laid up for the Apostle Paul. Who else is that crown of righteousness laid up for? Everybody who will be loyal, everybody who will endure, and everybody who will be faithful. So what was laid up? A crown of righteousness. Now the second question, when will that crown of righteousness be given him? What does the verse say? When will the crown of righteousness be awarded to Paul and to all those who have lived as he lived? On that day. On that day. Do you see the verse? It will be awarded to me on that day. Well, what day? Well, that day. Well, what day is that day? it's the day of judgment. It's the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 21, Jesus said, "Many, many will come unto me in that day. And will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devil?" Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and verse 23. That day is the day of judgment. That day is the day of judgment. Now listen carefully to what I'm telling you, because that's an important truth. On the day of judgment, those who have been loyal and endure and who have been faithful will receive the crown of righteousness. But listen to me, brethren, this isn't crown-wearing days. This is cross-bearing days. So Paul says, here's my present. Paul says, there's my past. Paul says, here is my future. Listen, in your present, right here, right now, are you ready? Well, I hope so. Boy, that doesn't... I don't know if I go to bed with that. And if I went to bed, I wouldn't sleep with it. Am I ready? When you look at your past, have you been loyal? Have you endured? The world can put some hurt on you. The devil can slap you around good. But we must endure. And have you been faithful? And as you sit here and contemplate your future, what about that day? What about that day? I've sit here and I've heard all this, and then on that day, I face him unprepared. Listen to me. What are you going to tell Jesus about that? Amen. What are you going to tell Jesus about that? Well, I didn't know. You may not have known, but if you've stayed awake, you know now. Are you ready? One day, that's the only thing that's going to matter. The dying words of Queen Elizabeth were these: all my millions for a moment of time. All my millions for a moment of time. But all her millions couldn't buy her another minute. And all yours won't either. If you're not ready before this service ends, before this year ends, you told yourself in January, I'm going to become a Christian before this year is over. Okay. This year is over. If you need to come, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.